Coming up on today's show,
your time as an athlete won't be forever. So if your identity is just in that and then you lose it, then you're in identity crisis. But if your identity as a son of God or a daughter of God who plays, then you can not only give glory to God in the ups and downs of your season, but when that sport is no longer in your life or is in your life in a new way, you don't have that same identity crisis.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more, from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both land you on the same spot. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. And then social media for this show is Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community, that is the Facebook group. Its members are both listeners as well as some past guests. There is no cost to join that. The quick way to find it is the big white button that is immediately below my picture near the top of the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. Social media as well as the website all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Are we as committed to growing in our faith as athletes are in their sport? It is just so darn impressive when an athlete who plays at an elite level, I'm talking about an all-pro, an all-star, an MVP, still looks for ways to improve their game. You hear about these competitors, maybe discovering something new in the off season, or studying an opponent, or watching video of their own play, or talking to specialty coaches, or in many cases, some combination of these efforts. They hold themselves to a higher standard. They are not content just staying where they are. They want to be better. This is the type of mindset we need to have as it relates to deepening our walk with Christ. The more we put into our pursuit of Him, the better off we will be. In the New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1 says in verses 5 to 7, quote, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with endurance, endurance with devotion, devotion with mutual affection with love." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest played basketball and baseball in high school, when he also umpired the latter sport for about 4 years. He has also refereed some basketball games, plus he has continued to play in pickup leagues his whole life, including cricket, curling, soccer, baseball, basketball, and golf. He also coached freshman baseball at Strake Jesuit for 2 years. Furthermore, he played in the National Seminarians basketball tournament in Wisconsin in 2022. Meanwhile, he was ordained to the priesthood in 2022 in St. Louis, and 2 years ago was missioned to Jesuit Dallas to be the VP for Mission and Identity, which is the role he currently still holds. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Father John Pulse.
Bruce, it's great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
You bet, you bet. And Father John, you sent me lots of great information in the lead up to today. And wow, have you moved around a lot. So on that note, let's get started by having you share with the audience where you were born and raised and what the family size was.
I was born and raised in Meriden, Connecticut, and I'm one of six. I was born Catholic, and I was number four in the family line.
Wow. Wow. And what's the boy-girl breakdown?
It's an even split.
Ah. You are, in fact, as you just mentioned, a cradle Catholic, but just go a little further with that. Tell us about the presence of the faith in the Pulse household when you were a young boy.
Yeah, so my grandfather came to move in with me, and his wife died, and he was a very faithful man, and my mom had come back to the faith when she was in college, and so she raised us Catholic, so church every Sunday, and then usually Fridays and Mondays as well. My dad was not a Catholic when I was a kid. He was a fallen away Catholic, but he came back to the faith when I was in high school. So that was a big moment for our family to have my dad back in the realm of the church. So that was kind of late high school for me.
And did you say that your mom had come back to the faith as well?
Correct. Before I was born, that was when she was in college and just after. So her, when I was born and grew up, she was a very faithful woman. So I say my mom, I caught my faith from my mom. And then my grandfather and my father nourished it in time.
Wonderful. Wonderful. In the intro, I mentioned you're having played baseball and basketball in high school. Were those, in fact, your two main sports when you were young? And for that matter, who or maybe what pointed you towards playing sports?
My older brother. So my older brother was the star athlete of our family. He ended up playing basketball in college for D3 school, Albertus Magnus and King's College, and actually got invited to play in NBA camp after college, but joined the military. So our sports culture for the boys was set by my brother. Baseball and basketball were my primary sports. I was homeschooled actually in Connecticut, so I kind of had to hustle for spots. So I play a lot of travel ball, AAU, American Legion, Babe Ruth leagues. I kind of cultivated my skill being this, you know, kind of outside draft pick that would show up and win a spot on the team. And very much as a kid, I defined my identity as being really good at sports because I didn't have that traditional school culture. And so that's how I kind of made friends. And I loved it. I loved it a lot.
I don't want to mistake playing a lot of baseball for you sound like you were really good, but are you being humble and you were really good and maybe baseball could have been a career for you?
The sport I cultivated the most talent in was actually basketball. I gave up baseball when I was 16. I had a pulled hamstring on a travel baseball team. And after I recovered, I realized my love was really in basketball. And so my 17, 18 years, I decided to cultivate basketball. I was good. And I went to college at the University of Dallas, and I had a chance to walk onto the team, but I decided to not do that and do a different way of life with my college career. And so I never actually formally played for a school team again. But then when I joined seminary, I was looking for ways to play pickup ball, which led me to that seminary's basketball tournament, playing for the Archdiocese of Boston, you know, as a deacon. So basketball was the sport I cultivated the best. Baseball was my first love as a sports guy.
So before we get too far away from it, do I take you to be a Mavericks fan because you're in Dallas, or do you have roots maybe in Boston and you root for the Celtics? Who is your NBA team?
Great question. This is a great topic of the Jesuits because we move around so much. I have never changed my allegiance outside of Boston. So Connecticut had no professional teams when I was growing up. So I was a big UConn Huskies fan for basketball. And then after that, all my teams came out of Boston. That's where my mom and my grandpa were from. And so since he lived with us, he kind of set a lot of the fandom culture in our household. So I respect the Mavericks. I have no hatred towards the Mavericks, but my love is Boston. Yeah.
Okay. We seem like we get a lot of Celtics, I'll say fans on this show, but people that have some allegiance to the Boston Celtics. I wish we were keeping track of them, all of them. Father John, you went to the University of Dallas from 2005 to 2009, and then from 2009 to 2011, you were an RA in Rome for the University of Dallas. I think this is about the time you started to feel a call to the priesthood?
Yes, that's exactly right. So University of Dallas kind of helped me become an adult in my faith. You know, when you move away to college, you have to decide if the faith your parents passed on you is going to become a lived reality in your life. And University of Dallas has a great lived culture academically and socially to support that faith life. And so it blossomed, and that led me to take a job in Rome. I had the travel bug. And interestingly enough, I played for an Italian basketball team in Fratokie. I was kind of the American sub for that game. Their travel rules are a little tighter in Europe, so I could call for travel a little bit. They don't do the NBA, you know, 2.5 step over there. So I had to adjust my play style in Europe. So I played for them for a semester, not to get paid, but just to have fun. But it was fun to play for them. But then when I was at Rome, being an RA, the chaplain for the program was a guy by the name of Father David Brown. He's an astrophysicist, and he works for the Vatican Observatory. He helps the church study space and be relevant in the conversation with in the physics world and in the astrophysics world. And he could come down and say mass and hear confessions, and he'd be a chaplain for us on trips. And so he was the first Jesuit I ever met, and he was one of the priests I got close with. He became my spiritual director, and he taught me how to pray. I would say I prayed on Sundays at church, I'd pray rosaries, but I didn't really talk to the Lord with the depth that I felt like I needed at the time of my life. I was 22 to 24, and he taught me what that looked like. And no surprise, when you start talking to the Lord, he talks back. And so in that conversation over those 2 years, I heard an invitation to come to priesthood and to Jesuit priesthood, a religious kind of priesthood. And so, yeah, I joined Jesuit Seminary out of Rome in 2011 in Grand Coteau, Louisiana, and have been forming and growing with the Jesuits since 2011.
Mm. Now here is some of that moving around that I referred to. In 2011, as you just mentioned, you were in Louisiana. 2 years later, you went up to Canada and studied philosophy. So that was 2013 to 2016. And then in 2016, you were sent to Strake Jesuit in Houston, Texas, where, oh, by the way, you developed a pilgrimage for high school students to Spain to walk in the footsteps of St. Ignatius. So I'm guessing that you spent time over in Spain as well. Is all this moving around typical during seminary, during formation? And regardless of your answer, how challenging is it to stay focused on serving the Lord when you're getting moved around so much and changing hats so often? Because I'm thinking of someone in the audience who might be in a similar position, meaning moving and or changing jobs a lot. So this could be a good teaching moment.
Oh, amen to that. I would say not easy, but one of the things they challenge you on when you first join Jesuit Seminary is that you join the Universal Society. You don't join a province or a work like a high school or a college. So they actually challenge the young man when he joins, hey, part of our Jesuit charism, and it's unique to us. There's other orders that also are mobile, but there's lots of orders in the church that are more stable. So it's kind of a call from the Lord. Our home is the road, actually, is one of our earlier founders phrased it. So Jesuits are supposed to be comfortable on the move. And that's kind of a heart that you look for when you're discerning a Jesuit vocation. And so they put that into practice in the first 2 years of your novitiate, where they send you out to these different, what they call experiences or experiments. And then once you take your vows at the end of novitiate, so for me, that was 2013, then they send you off to your studies. And in Jesuit seminary, we don't have one building where we stay in for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years. Every kind of 2 to 3 years, we're moved to our next phase of location. And so that's why I was sent to Canada to learn philosophy. Mm. And then from Canada, I was challenged to put that philosophy into practice by learning how to teach at Strake Jesuit in Houston. Mm. And so they kind of, so you root in the place for 3 to 4 years, and then you get moved to the next place and you root in that place. And what they're constantly, the grace they're looking for, and this kind of comes back to St. Ignatius, is the grace to blossom in multiple locations is a grace from God. Mm. And so it's not the only grace from God. There's lots of graces that call you to stability, call you to one location, and that's a different kind of grace from God. But the Jesuit vocation, the Jesuit heart, is the grace to blossom in multiple locations. And so, yeah, I would say there is a challenge in that, because you have to love deeply when you go to a place, and then you have to have the freedom to not get attached to that place. And that's a hard grace to pray for, priest. Let me tell you, it's not easy, because it's human to get attached. You love institutions, you love places, you love your restaurants you go, you love the community you live with, right? And you get comfortable. And then the Lord says, but can you go over there? And you have to be able to say, well, I came to this life for the Lord, not for this place or location. And if you lose sight of that, then leaving is hard. If you lose sight of that. Oof. And so one of the best things a superior told me about, I was in Canada and I was being sent to Strake Jesuit. And I said, how am I supposed to see this mission? It feels like Jesus is sending me from, like, I'm loving Canada. I went to cooking school. I did philosophy at the University of Toronto. I started learning French. I said, I feel like, you know, it's a home for me. And my superior pulled me in. He smiled and he said, you can look at it as Jesus sending you away, going to some place. Kind of, he sends them out 2 by 2. He says, you can also look at it, he's calling you to join him in another place.
Amen.
And both are great ways of looking at it. So I changed my prayer to say, okay, Jesus isn't just sending me away from Canada. He's calling me to Houston. And so when I showed up in Houston, and this has kind of been one of my prayers in my Jesuit life, when I come to a new place, Lord, who and how are you calling me to love here?
Wow.
Who and how are you calling me to love here? And sometimes he doesn't answer right away. So it's uncomfortable in those transition periods. So for all you that are having transitions in your life, just because the Lord hasn't answered right away doesn't mean he doesn't have an answer. And then secondly, he's also developing trust in him. Mm. One of my favorite devotions, Divine Mercy, Jesus, I trust in you.
Amen.
Sometimes that discomfort in moving is because we can't see the goal or the future. And so Jesus says, hey, you don't have to trust me. You know, he works out good for all those who love him, right? St. Paul. And so that is a heart and a grace you have to pray for. It's not magic. It's not natural in a sense. But any Christian can pray for it, and the Jesuit vocation demands that you pray for it, because they force you to do that movement. Mm. And so, yeah. And then So yeah, I'm gonna stop there. But that's kind of some of the things I've been thinking about.
That's fantastic.
In my transition time.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And the grace to blossom in multiple locations, that does definitely speak to those who find themselves moving and or changing jobs a lot. I love that answer. And friends, don't miss the fact that I said in the intro that Father John is currently at Jesuit Dallas. And speaking of Catholic institutions, Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio. And when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families, Catholic high school students, and young people pursuing a college degree. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. I do, in fact, enjoy getting to do what I have the opportunity to say this week. It is an acknowledgement of, it is a thank you for a financial gift that was recently sent in to help support my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. Specifically, please allow me to send sincere, heartfelt thanks publicly to our friends at Rappahannock Foot and Ankle Specialists in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I certainly sent an email to acknowledge receipt of that and express my appreciation, but I am pleased to be able to share it with all of you through this public thank you here on episode 379. If you listen regularly, thank you, of course, you know that I am regularly challenged by more expenses than you might think there would be for what on the surface appears to be just a weekly show. Whenever I can, I share specific examples of bills that I receive for Catholic Sports Radio, and I am honest in telling the audience that I am challenged to meet all of these, what is otherwise out of my own pocket, since this is neither my full nor my part-time job. Support from listeners like Rappahannock Foot and Ankle Specialists helps me ensure that everything is operating as it needs to in order to keep working for the kingdom week after week, month after month, what is more than 7 years now. It is my hope that you too are seeing benefit from the work that I am doing through Catholic Sports Radio, and that it is helping you in your faith life, and you enjoy the testimony being shared by the guests I am talking with each week. If you do, in fact, find value in this ministry, I ask you to prayerfully consider making a one-time financial gift. You can do so via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It will allow you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal. And by the way, you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. That method is how Rappahannock Foot and Ankle Specialists made their contribution. Alternatively, and this is probably attractive to those who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail. And then, as you're hearing me do on this episode with Rappahannock Foot and Ankle Specialists in Fredericksburg, Virginia, with your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or, as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Father John, in 2022, you were ordained and sent to Jesuit High School in New Orleans. There, you began to really get into sports chaplaincy. Explain to the audience what that looked like.
Yeah, I had played my whole life. I coached a little bit, and I started having this love for wanting to stay involved in sports, but I didn't think I could continue being a coach in my life as a priest with the demands of that schedule. And so when I was sent to Jesuit High School in New Orleans, I was the director of campus ministry, and I was part of my job was to oversee teams and their spiritual care. And so I kind of started by getting to know the coaches and the athletic director, and I started directly working with the football team, with the basketball team, with the baseball team, and I built on the work of the chaplain before me. I didn't start it out of the blue. And part of my work was to say masses for the team and then to walk with the team in the dugout or on the field or in the sidelines. And so my primary ministry was through the homilies, kind of the chapel talks and the homilies and the mass, and inspiring the boys to see their life of prayer before a game oftentimes or on the road as not separate from their life as an athlete, but as an offering of God of their athletic talent. And so the biggest thing I've tried to do in my sports ministry there was to root the athletes in their identity as Christians first, not as athletes. And then from their gifts, the Lord's given them to cultivate their athletic gift. Super important, because your athletic gift is for a time in your life. And whether it be injury or interest or just the reality in athletes and in the athlete's life that there might be somebody better than you and you get cut, your time as an athlete won't be forever. So if your identity is just in that and then you lose it, then you're an identity crisis. But if your identity as a son of God or a daughter of God who plays, then you can not only give glory to God in the ups and downs of your season, but when that sport is no longer in your life or is in your life in a new way, you don't have that same identity crisis. And it's so key for our young people who are looking to root their identity in something. And sports is a natural place for that. And so as a chaplain, my attempt was to love them through the sport, because I love sports, I love cheering for sport, but then also to challenge them, hey, if you lost or if you got cut, if you got hurt, this shouldn't ruin your life. This is another chance to glorify God in a new way. Mm. If you win a state championship, and we had some state champions, this is not a time to gloat over your opponent, but to celebrate the Lord working through you in this great time of glory. And there I got to, that's something new I did, as I cultivated a talk called Cultivating Our Baseball Spirituality. And I gave it to parents and coaches. And that was a lot of fun. That was my first talk on sports and faith. And I looked at the sport of baseball that I knew well, my first love, as I said earlier, and I had coached and I played. And I said, what from this sport gives us analogies for our life of faith? And I took my inspiration from St. Paul, because when I was in Boston College getting an advanced degree in scripture, St. Paul actually uses running and boxing as spiritual analogies for the life of Christ. So St. Paul is looking at these Greek athletes and these Roman athletes. He's saying, hey, just as you do this for sport, so too you can do this for Christ. So from St. Paul's good encouragement, he didn't know about baseball, obviously, I got a chance to do the same thing with baseball. And it was a lot of fun to do. I got to research the greats of our sport, but not just the greats by stats, the greats by faith. And sometimes there was a deep overlap. Men of great faith were men of great talent. You know, Yogi Berra, for example, Ted Williams. And so it was fun to see sometimes the greats of stats and faith were the same, and sometimes they weren't. And so then I built a retreat for the golf team where we went on the golf course, we played golf, and then we went back to the hotel room and had a mass. And then we had a virtue talk. And then the players got to go out and bring a Bible verse when they played golf the next day.
Wow.
And then I played golf with them. And they were better than me, don't get me wrong, Bruce. But they got to see that, just like Scottie Scheffler does as a PGA player, they too can be men who bring the Lord, scripture, whatever, with them in their golf game, and not just something they do on Sunday and golf something they do Saturday morning. And so that's where that kind of began and crafted. And then it's kind of grown in Dallas. And I came to a new love in my sports chaplaincy, if you give me a chance to tell that, in Dallas this past year in collaboration with Drew Valinsky.
Well, first I want to, you mentioned people who are not only good in their sport, but people who are really strong, if not more so, in their faith. Way back on episode 115 of this show, just over 5 years ago, April 2021, my guest was Barry Dean. He is the president of the Association of Catholic Coaches and Athletes. Father John, in 2023, you helped Barry Dean run a sports faith camp with, here we go, former NFL quarterback Philip Rivers in Alabama, who we all know as the former NFL quarterback, but a very strong Catholic. Just tell us about that project that you did with Barry Dean and with Philip Rivers.
Yeah, so I met Barry Dean at a Jesuit retreat. He came on a retreat that I was helping with. He walked in and we talked, and we've been friends ever since. And then he said, hey, would you want to do this project with me? So I flew in as a priest to, I think it was Fairhope, Alabama, where Philip Rivers coached at the local high school there. And we ran a camp for a few days for middle school kids. I think that was the age. And it was a two-part camp. The part of the camp was growing in football skills. And so Philip Rivers ran all of that. And then the other part of the camp was growing in faith and virtue. And so I ran that. So there was mass, there was some talk, there was some prayer. And the parents could join in for some of those activities as well. So the goal was to coach your athlete, not just for a season, but for eternity. And that's a line that Barry Dean had given to me and shared with me. And so what was helpful about that whole project is that Philip Rivers himself is an outstanding athlete and an outstanding man of God. And so he wanted to collaborate in this project, not to just teach the students how to throw better, but he wanted to be involved in a project that helped them grow in their faith. And so Barry Dean found a great athlete who himself witnessed to a life of Christ and a life of excellence in sport his whole career. And now in his coaching career was open to doing this for younger kids. And so, yeah, we would have mass virtue talks. And then I'd watch the boys under Phillip's tutelage learn how to throw and run and pocket pass. And, you know, that's not my skill at all. And so I just got to watch and enjoy that talent. And then enrich them later on with some adoration, with some confession, things like that.
So good.
It was a beautiful opportunity to collaborate in a faith and sports project.
So good.
With one of the greats.
Yeah, for sure. So yes, let's please fast forward to present day. 2 years ago, you were transferred to Jesuit Dallas and became the VP of Mission and Identity. While there, you say that you have taken up the role of leading the chaplain network. What does that mean?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so similar to New Orleans, when I got here to Dallas, the president said, hey, I want you to grow our chaplaincy program to our sports teams. You know, we have over 20 teams that play for our school here. It's a massive program of academics and sports. And not every team had a chaplain, or the chaplains had retired. And he said, hey, I want you to give some new life to that. And so I need to give a shout out to one of the great chaplains we have on our campus, Joe Nava, who's worked for the basketball team and has been a chaplain here for over a decade, maybe more, and just does amazing work. And so I started by letting him do his thing and say, okay, what other teams then need to be blessed like basketball? And so I'm a chaplain for baseball and football. But then I invited, and this is different from New Orleans, I invited other faculty and staff who had that chaplain itch to get involved. Mm. And so now we have a chaplain for rugby and a chaplain for soccer and a chaplain for cross country. That's not me. Mm. And so now we have a network of chaplains, also hockey, that are working with multiple teams to travel with the team, to go to the games, to lead prayer, to empower kids to lead each other in prayer, to work with the coaches. And so now we have a burgeoning network of chaplains, five or six. And so the hope is to build on that over time. My long-term goal would be every team here has a chaplain. We're not there yet, but that's the goal, to say that, hey, whatever sport, whatever level of that sport, you know, not only is the Lord walking with you, but how, and challenging you, how can you see your faith as a gift to your athletic competition? It's not something separate. And that's a hard move for a young person to see, because when you're crunched for time, it feels like it's a time waste. I could be listening, I could be practicing. Why do I want to give 15, 20, 30 minutes to God, right?
Yeah.
But if you can remind them, thinking of the Old Testament, the tithing, you can tithe with money, you can tithe with time. Giving God your time is not a waste, it's actually an offering. And the Lord doesn't bless you necessarily with athletic success, but he blesses you something far deeper, success in your heart and peace and love and joy. Huh? Mm. And so from that heart, you then can compete in a different level. And so again, whether you get a win or not, a state championship or not, that's not the goal of the chaplaincy work. Chaplaincy work is to remind you that ultimately identity is a son of God, a daughter of God. And from that, you go compete with joy, with peace, with competitive fire. And at the end of the day, regardless of the result, you're still loved by the Lord and you offered up in peace and serenity. And you can push back against the anxiety, the bitterness, the loneliness that can come in the sports world through the ups and downs of the season, or the chaos, or the sports hatred that can pop up in your heart. You can beat back all of these vices and actually be a conduit for virtue. Huh? And so one of the things I discovered in this process, I met a good friend of mine, Drew Valinsky, a chaplain at another school in Ohio. His heart has been drawn recently to look out for the injured athletes. And him and I have been collaborating on a project to develop kind of video montage of athletes who had been injured, who'd made it through their injury, who then talk about what they learned through that journey of recovery, to then record their story and share it with athletes below them who are hurt, and ask the question, where was God with me during that? And I can't tell you, Bruce, when an athlete gets hurt, let's say torn ACL, broken elbow, okay, whatever, and then they are pulled off the roster to get hurt, they feel totally disoriented.
I'm sure.
Because they can contribute nothing to the athletic success of the team. And sometimes they get overlooked because as a coach or a player who's healthy, you're trying to win that next game. And so you may not be always asking, how's my hurt athletes doing, right? And so it's a tremendously disorienting time. And yet we know from St. Ignatius, St. Paul, Jesus himself, injury and suffering is not when God stops working, but sometimes when he works best.
Mm.
And so if that's true, how are we helping those athletes not fall into crisis, but actually engage that time of suffering as a real battlefront for their faith and hearts when they return to their team, they haven't wasted this time. It's not been a time off. It's actually been a time when they've become stronger mentally, spiritually, et cetera. So what I've done in Dallas under the inspiration of Drew Valinsky is to start recording some videos, start getting some testimony. And then I've tried this out on athletes who are hurt. I've played them the videos and you can see them be given the gift of hope. Wait, you're telling me my torn ACL that's going to have an X number of months recovery time, I don't have to waste that by wallowing in self-pity. I can actually attack it by praying, by being a positive influence. I call them the hype squad, the injury squad. You can be a hype squad for your team. That's a real gift to your team, even though you're not scoring goals or baskets or whatever. And so some of those injured athletes have had some tremendous insights into their journey. And so, again, all credit goes to Drew Valinsky, but as I've shared that with those ideas with other schools and chaplains, they just start nodding. And they're like, oh my goodness, yes, this is a heart we have to look out for tremendously, because it's a heart that often gets overlooked through nobody's fault in the ups and downs of the sports season. And so that's been one of my, I have a prayer card for injured athletes when they get hurt. I go up and find them and give them that prayer card and wait for them to integrate. And then the ones that made those great journeys said, hey, how about you record your video and tell your story to brothers you'll never meet because you're graduating, but hey, you need to tell them what it was like. You know, how do they stay hopeful? You know, and it's one of my favorite things I've done this year. I hope to continue that in the future with future athletes. You know,
well,
so.
Audience, watch what I'm going to do here. It reminds me a lot of Brandon Alleman. He runs Live in U, as in the letter U, like short for university. And he talked about the fact that when he played football, he got to a point where he realized, okay, you know what? I got to be honest with myself. I'm not going to be the star player. There are those of us that get put down at the end of the bench, and we can still bring value to the team. We can cheer for one another. Yeah. We can pray for one another. We can still be a contributor. And ironically, I interviewed Brandon last August when I was in Waco, Texas. I was there for the 4th Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. That is where I met Father John. And that is where Father John and I both met Drew Valinsky. And audience, if you're wondering why the name sounds familiar, Drew's name came up last week on the episode with Nick Renpage. Well, Drew ended up being the guest back on episode 347 of the show last September. And Father John, 5 months from now, in October, Drew is running the North American Sports and Arts Chaplaincy Conference being hosted at St. Ignatius High School in Cleveland. What is your role with that event?
Yeah, I am so excited for that event. I wish it was tomorrow. my role is, number one, I'm going as a participant to learn from the great people that he's bringing in this world. And then secondly, he's asked me to moderate a panel or two of speakers. So I'll be one of the collaborators in this project. And then I've also behind the scenes brainstormed with him a few suggestions for speakers and topic ideas. Drew came and talked to our coaches here in Jesuit Dallas to talk about sports and faith and chaplaincy for the arts and the athletic program. And so, yeah, my role is to help on the panel and then also to learn and to be kind of a sponge in an environment where some high quality men and women from around the country, and also I think in Canada and other parts of North America, will share their gifts, talents, insights, and stories with working with young people or professional or college athletes on how to minister to a heart as well as to the body. And so I'm excited for the learning, and I'm excited to contribute a little bit on the leadership side. So it's going to be, it's the first in my time working in high school, it's the first national conference directed solely towards Jesuit high schools, or maybe high schools ever that I'm aware of. I know the one at Baylor was all different levels of sports. Yeah. So I'm really excited to bring some high school people together in kind of the wider network to see, hey, let's share graces. What's happening out there? What are you seeing? What are we not seeing? How can we make this ministry even more blessed than it is?
For sure. For sure. And audience, I will put a link on the show page for Father John's episode on CatholicSportsRadio.net to the North American Sports and Arts Chaplaincy Conference in case you and or someone you know is interested. Let's end on a fun note, Father John, something that I'm pretty sure has nothing to do with faith or sports, actually. You went over this really quick earlier on in our conversation, but at some point along the way, you attended cooking school?
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. yes, I was George Brown Cooking School. It was a George Brown Cooking School in Toronto, Canada. While I was doing philosophy studies, I wanted a creative outlet, and I loved to cook, but I wasn't good at it. And so my superior let me go to cooking school. Now, I didn't become a chef. It wasn't a Gordon Ramsay episode, but I got taught by chefs on a variety of different kind of savory cuisines. And what I've done with that is I get to cook for my communities that I live in, or for schools that have auctions. I can bring families in to cook for them, or just go home and be with mom and dad and whip up a meal. And so it's been a real gift for me to cultivate and then to share and bring people around the table. And sometimes when we're around that table, we're watching sports together. Sometimes we're talking about sports, and sometimes we're talking about God and life. And so, yeah, food is a powerful medium for friendship, for grace, for fellowship. And so it's something that the Jesuits let me go cultivate to a kind of an amateur, you know, level, not professional, but a step above, you know, reading your own cookbook. And I've been able to ever since then delight myself, delight others, and share that gift with people and meet some incredible people around the table. So it's been awesome. I've really, really enjoyed that. So yeah, I try not to tell a lot of people, because then I'm going over to dinner and they're like, oh, well, you're a chef. I'm like, no, whatever you make, it's gonna be lovely. I'm not pretentious. Like, you could make peanut butter and jelly and I'll be totally happy. Like, just let's hang out, you know? So, yeah.
Although when you are the one doing the cooking, you're breaking a whole lot more than bread together. That's exactly right.
That's exactly right. You got that right, Bruce. Absolutely.
Well, audience, if you've been listening for quite some time, again, thank you. But you know that when I have a member of the clergy on as a guest, I defer to him or her to close us out in prayer. And Father John has been kind enough to agree to do our closing prayer for this week. So, Father John, if you would.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord, teach me to be generous. Teach me to serve you as you deserve. To give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for reward, save that of knowing that I do your will, both on the field, off the field, in my family, in my vocation, in the church, in the stadium, at home. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at CatholicSportsRadio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.